I was discussing this in the, I gave a little lecture here this afternoon to some NCC youths who had come. And I was saying how everyone comes here for darshan of Balaji, but this temple is situated at the gateway to Tirumalai, and here you should get, first you should get darshan here. Because darshan means seeing. Everyone goes, they think, I will see Venkateshwar, Venkatanath, so many names, Srinivas, Govinda, Balaji. But another meaning of darshan is tattva-gyan. So you should come here to get the tattva-gyan by which you can actually see Srinivas. Otherwise, if you don't understand who he is, then you'll think he's some sacred lump of stone. So I was explaining how the mission of ISKCON is to teach Bhagavad Gita all over the world and in this way do the best service for India. Best service for India is a very, it's true, but it's a very small part of the mission of the Krishna conscious movement. It doesn't compare with going back home, back to Godhead. But because people have no idea about going back home, back to Godhead, then we say things like best service for India, or make America glorious by preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada used to say. So at the end, one of the supervisors, the older man there, started to ask a question about how in Bhagavad Gita Krishna teaches karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga. But before he could finish asking the question, I interrupted and said, actually, you don't understand Bhagavad Gita. And as I often point out, most Hindu homes have Bhagavad Gita in them, but very, very few Hindus have any idea what's in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, you should take Bhagavad Gita to, as it is, to understand that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna only recommends Bhakti Yoga. He said that all the paths lead to God, karma, jnana, and bhakti. But I said, no, bhakti. Bhaktya mama vijanati. Only by bhakti you can know, Krishna says. Then I was, I'm just giving a summary, you know, of what I was saying. And now I'm just saying, in a summary, what I said in the class. He also asked that, you see what would happen if everyone just did bhakti and didn't do karma. Something like that. He didn't actually get to the point of asking a question, but I stopped him before he got to the point. So he pointed out that this is a misunderstanding of what bhakti is.
Maharaj,
Bhakti doesn't mean to hide in a cave and just put your hands on some beads. Bhakti doesn't mean to hide in a cave. Doesn't mean that. Almost lost all your brahmacharis there. If they'd thought, they would all be up on the Saptagiri and finding some cave. Maharaj said. I pointed out the most famous sevak, Bhagavat sevak in history is Hanuman.
Maharaj Jitnaru, Chetarlo, Bhagavanga, and to Abhutmanit Sevakuru, Hanumanjali.
And of course, nowadays he's a Chiranjeevi, so he's still around and he's doing Ram Nam Japa. You didn't know that? You know what Chiranjeevi means?
Yeah.
So he's still there, doing Ram Nam Japa.
Ram,
Ram, Ram. He's here. Wherever the name of Ram is chanted, he comes. but he's famous for fighting on behalf of Lord Ram, as is Arjuna. Arjuna, he fought, he told Krishna, I accept what you're saying, Krishna Vatanam Teva. He fought on Krishna's direction. His fighting was not karma yoga, it was bhakti. Bhakti, within bhakti there is activity and there is knowledge. But the karma yogi, he works without a clear concept of who is Krishna or of surrender to him.
అదే కర్మయోగి చేసిన కర్మలో కృష్ణుడు కృష్ణుడికి సన్నాగి పొందడం ఏమిటి అనేటువంటి దాని గురించి ఎటువంటి అవగాహన ఉంది.
సో యాక్టివిటీ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ కెన్ ఆల్సో బి కాల్డ్ కర్మ యోగ.
కాబట్టి కృష్ణ చైతన్యంలో కర్మ చేయడం కూడా కర్మయోగం అని చెప్పి అనబడుతుంది.
బికాస్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ యాక్టివిటీ విచ్ ఇస్ యోగో యుక్త భవార్జన. ఇట్ ఇస్ లింక్డ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సర్వీస్.
అంటే అక్కడ కర్మ చేస్తున్నారు కానీ కృష్ణునికి సేవకు సంబంధాన్ని కలిగి ఉంది.
But it's not the same, it's quite different in quality to the karma yogi, the karma yoga of the karma yogi who doesn't act clearly in bhakti. So here in the purport, Prabhupada says that the activities of the yogi are distinguished from that of an ordinary person by his characteristic cessation from all kinds of material desires.
యోగాభ్యాసంలో యోగి తన నామకర్మ అనేది నియమించి విషయ కోరిక రహితమైన ఆధ్యాత్మిక స్థితిని నిలిచినప్పుడు యోగంలో స్థిరమైనట్లుగా చెప్పబడుతుంది.
సో దిస్ ఐ పాయింటెడ్ అవుట్ టు దట్ మ్యాన్ దట్ ద అ పర్సన్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ వర్క్స్ అండ్ పర్సన్ ఇన్ మెటీరియల్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ వర్క్స్ బట్ దేర్స్ అ డిఫరెన్స్ ఇన్ ది పర్పస్ అండ్ ది యాటిట్యూడ్.
అందుకే మహారాజ్ అర్థం చెప్తున్నారు అన్నమాట, కృష్ణ చైతన్యంలో పనిచేసేటువంటి వ్యక్తి భౌతికమైన చైతన్యంలో పనిచేసే వ్యక్తి ఎక్కడ పోలిస్తే వారిద్దరికి చేసేటువంటి మనోభావం చేసేటువంటి ప్రయోజనం రెండు వేరు.
ఐ గేవ్ ది ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆఫ్ బిల్డింగ్ దిస్ టెంపుల్.
అప్పుడు ఈ మందిర నిర్మాణం గురించి ఉదాహరణ చెప్పారు.
బిల్డింగ్ దిస్ టెంపుల్ అండ్ బిల్డింగ్ అ షాపింగ్ కాంప్లెక్స్ ఆర్ అన్ అపార్ట్మెంట్ బ్లాక్ ఇట్ ఇన్వాల్వ్స్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ ది సేమ్ యాక్టివిటీ.
మందిర నిర్మాణం చేయడం లేదా కాంప్లెక్స్ నిర్మాణం చేయడం షాపింగ్ కాంప్లెక్స్ ని రెండు కూడా ఒకటే పనిలా కనబడుతుంది.
One has to make economic calculations, raise funds, and deal with the contractors and the mazdoors and all those kinds of
things.
Mazdoors means laborers, for the sake of the Russian translation. So it's a lot of difficulty is taken in doing so. But the purpose for which the a person builds a shopping complex or an apartment block is quite different to the purpose of one who builds a temple for this glorification of Krishna.
ఎవరైనా వ్యక్తి శాంతి నామస్మరణి లేకపోతే ఒక అపార్ట్మెంట్ నిర్మిస్తున్నాడంటే అతను దాన్ని కోసం నిర్మిస్తున్నాడు ఆ ప్రయోజనం ఒక వ్యక్తి మందిరాన్ని నిర్మించే ప్రయోజనంతో చాలా వ్యత్యాసం.
So the activity is similar, but the purpose is different and the result is different.
చేసేటువంటి కార్యం ఒకటే కానీ ప్రయోజనం వచ్చి వేరువేరుగా ఉంది, ఫలితం కూడా వేరువేరుగా ఉంటుంది.
By building an apartment block and becoming very attached to it, you run a severe risk of being born again in that apartment block after you die, maybe as a rat or a cockroach.
ఒక అపార్ట్మెంట్ బ్లాక్ నిర్మించావు, దాని పట్ల ఎంతో బంధనం కలిగి ఉండి దాంతో పెద్ద వ్యాపారం తీసుకుంటుంది, తర్వాత మరణించిన ప్రేమంతో దాని మీద బంధంతో తర్వాత జన్మలో ఆ అపార్ట్మెంట్ లను ఎలక్ట్రో బతికాలని జన్మిస్తాం.
This is what happens. People become attached to a building and so they come back again.
ఇదే ఇప్పుడు జరుగుతున్నదన్నమాట. ప్రజలు ఏం చేస్తారు, నిర్మించిన భవంతో బాగా బంధం నిర్మించుకుంటారు, వాళ్ళు మళ్ళీ ఆ భవంతో దగ్గరికి తిరిగి వస్తారు.
Once in Stockholm, Sweden, devotees were showing Prabhupada a new building which they had rented, which they'd just taken it, they hadn't done anything with it.
ఒకసారి స్వీడన్ లో స్టాక్హోమ్ లో ప్రభుపాద గారికి శిష్యులు చూపిస్తున్నారు అన్నట్టు ఒక అద్దెకి తీసుకున్నటువంటి పెద్ద భవంతిని, అప్పుడే అది అద్దెకి తీసుకున్నారు.
And they opened one door and a rat ran out. Prabhupada said that was the owner of the building in the previous life. And because he was so attached, he came back again like that. Another time he was talking about, you've seen people have the picture of their deceased father on the wall. They don't know that he's a cockroach in the commode. Cockroach in the toilet. Latrine. Whatever you want. There are so many different words. But by building a temple for the glorification of Krishna, according to Shastra, one never takes birth again in this material world.
కానీ కృష్ణుని వైభవాన్ని గుర్తించడం కోసం మందిరాన్ని నిర్మించినట్లయితే శాస్త్రాలు చెప్తున్నాయి ఆ వ్యక్తి మళ్ళీ జన్మ తీసుకోలేదు.
A temple is a replica of Vaikuntha. So by establishing Vaikuntha on earth, then one is transferred to Vaikuntha.
మందిరం అంటే ఇది వైకుంఠానికి ప్రతిరూపం. ఎవరైతే అటువంటి వైకుంఠాన్ని భూలోకం మీద నిర్మిస్తారో వాళ్ళు వైకుంఠానికి వెళ్తారు.
Again, we have to see what is the purpose and the attitude. It's also possible to build a temple in materialistic consciousness. In Hyderabad, one Marwari man, he built a temple of Hanuman and made himself the head pujari. And then he made put a sweet shop outside and circulated rumors that by offering sweets to this deity, you could, the Ladu, Hanuman, that all your wishes will be fulfilled. And it's a great business and it's still going on. I don't know if he's still there, but he passed away by now. That's about 20 years ago.
ఎవరైతే హనుమంతునికి మిఠాయిలు నైవేద్యంగా పెడతారో వాళ్ళ కోరికలను కూడా నెరవేర్తాయి అని చెప్పేసి ఆ విధంగా పెద్ద వ్యాపారం కూడా కొనసాగుతుంది.
సో హీస్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు గెట్ ది రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి బికాజ్ హీస్ నాట్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ ది యాక్టివిటీ ఇన్ భక్తి.
అతడు భక్తి అనేటువంటి ఫలితాన్ని పొందలేదు ఎందుకంటే అతడు భక్తి మార్గంలో చేసిన కర్మ చేయలేదు.
వెన్ వి గో బిఫోర్ ది డియటీ వి మేక్ సమ్ ప్రేయర్
మనం విగ్రహం ముందు వెళ్ళినప్పుడు ప్రార్థన చేస్తాం.
We ask the Lord to bless us by fulfilling some desire.
ఏదో కొద్ది కోరిక నెరవేర్చుతున్నారో మనం ఆశీర్వదించుకుంటే భగవంతుని మనం ప్రార్థిస్తాం.
So usually when I come for Venkatanath Darshan, then I pray as Srila Prabhupada has taught us to pray.
మరా చెప్తున్నారు నేను వెంకటాచలం దర్శనం చేసుకోవాలి వచ్చినప్పుడు ప్రభుపాద గారు ఎట్లా ప్రార్థించమని చెప్పి చెప్పారో ఆ విధంగా నేను భగవంతుని ప్రార్థిస్తాను.
సమ్ ప్రేయర్ ఫర్ ఇంప్రూవింగ్ సర్వీస్ ఫుల్ఫిలింగ్ సమ్ కంప్లీటింగ్ సమ్ సర్వీస్ మేకింగ్ అడ్వాన్స్మెంట్ ఇన్ డివోషనల్ లైఫ్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ typical prayers that devotees who are on the path of pure devotional service, they pray like this. And usually I think that, well, I hope the Lord will be pleased with this prayer. Because thousands and thousands of people are coming every day and praying, please improve my bank balance, please improve my business, improve my health, get me a visa for America, or whatever they pray for. Pass my exams is very common. Before the exam, so many students are coming, isn't it? So that's better than being, it's many, many times better than being an atheist, but it's still a long way from pure devotional service. In our Krishna consciousness society, we are preaching pure devotional service to Krishna. At least we're supposed to be preaching pure devotional service to Krishna. But people may come for different reasons also. That people may see there's a big building, maybe I could get a place, solve my economic problem. It's a big institution, a lot of money is floating around, maybe I could take advantage of some of it. One devotee was telling me that he came back from America, and in the temples, the brahmacharis, some of them were asking, can you arrange for me to go also to America? So those who come for pure bhakti, they will get pure bhakti. Those who come for going to America, well, maybe the next one. Maybe this life also, you never know. It's foolishness. Murkata. Great foolishness.
Maha murkata.
It means they didn't understand one word in Prabhupada's books. So, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. That's what distinguishes a devotee from a non-devotee. Or a genuine devotee from a mixed devotee. Prabhupada quotes here the description of Maharaj Ambarish. How he performed devotional service. Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayoho. First of all, he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. But if our mind is not fixed on Krishna, then it's going to be wandering in Maya. And even though we may perform the other activities, Karohare Mandira Marjana Adishu, cleaning the temple of the Lord, that will not be done with this spirit of bhakti. That will be done with a calculating mentality. how much, what do I get? What's my material benefit from doing this?
You just say bhakti means never to impress anyone, and let me see others.
Bhakti means never to think what I will get, how I will benefit in any material way. Bhakti means to do everything only for Krishna's pleasure, even at the risk of spoiling one's own material situation. So everything depends on the attitude with which it is done. Otherwise, if we're not fixed on serving Krishna, then it won't actually be service. If we're calculating how much we get, then it's a kind of business deal. And then we may think that, well, I could do something else. If I can get more money doing something else, I'll do it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described, he'd seen a notice, probably in response to his own strong preaching, that one professional Bhagavatam speaker had put up a notice that if I could get more money by sweeping the street, I would give up this Bhagavad speaking and sweep the street. No love. Where there's calculation, what I can get, then there's no love. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also described Padmaniti. Padma is the mother of Kamsa. There are various Padmas, it's also a name for Lakshmi. So she thought that if an account was made of the work Krishna does by taking out the cows, and how much endeavor is put, how much it costs to feed him and everything, and if it was presented to Mother Yashoda, she would reject him, because it costs more to look after him than the value of the work he does. Can someone explain that? She has absolutely no idea of what is the love of Mother Yashoda for Krishna. It just shows how materialistic people, what is the basis of their love. That means she's thinking, if Kamsa, if I didn't get all my needs from him, I would reject it. So she's thinking, Mother Yashoda, she will also reject Krishna. But there's no question of Mother Yashoda rejecting Krishna. It's not possible. Nor can Krishna, even in his dreams, reject Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda is prepared to go through unlimited difficulties to serve Krishna, even in the slightest way. She doesn't want anything back from Krishna. This is the nature of bhakti. And that is the attractiveness of bhakti. Whereas love in this material world is just calculation, that's all. So many times we see when a young man joins our ashram that their mother develops a serious disease which can only be cured by his going back. One devotee from Chennai, young man, Brahmachari, he joined a temple outside Tamil Nadu in Maharashtra. The mother developed serious illness and he was tremendous pressure and he went back. She said, I just want to see him at home, that's all. I just need to see him because I'm so attached to him. I just need to see him every day. Then after some time he got a job in Bangalore and she didn't see him, but she didn't mind. So it seemed like, you know, tremendous love, but it came down to rupees. This is love in the material world. The materialist is always calculating. That is also summarized in the statement of Shukracharya to Bali Maharaj. Supposed to be the guru of Bali Maharaj. But Shukracharya was living. He was a materialist, and his mode of living was to get donations, or he was maintained by Bali Maharaj. So the advice he gave to Bali Maharaj was how to improve Bali Maharaj's material position. And by his advice and guidance, Bali Maharaj's material position increased to that the highest one could have in the material world. He was lording over the whole heavenly sphere and the lower sphere. Then he realized that this young boy, but this Vaman, this dwarf, he's actually Vishnu in disguise and he's going to take everything away. So then he asked, he put the question to Bali Maharaj. Sarvasvam Vishnave Dadva Murham Vatishyate Katam. If you give everything to Vishnu, then how will you maintain yourself? How will you go on with your life? With the implied question, how will I go on with my life too? Bali Maharaj, his very name, Bali, means offering. Killing the animal is called Balidan. So it's an example of giving himself fully, Atma Samarpan. He is the best example of that. He has shown what it means to give everything to Vishnu. Sarvasvam, same thing he said. Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva, giving everything. So
He had full faith that by giving everything to Vishnu, he would not be the loser. He would be the gainer. But his calculation was not a material calculation. He thought that by giving everything to Vishnu, I can gain the satisfaction of Vishnu, the favor of Vishnu. Which he considered more valuable than literally everything in the world, because literally everything in the world was in his possession. Whereas the materialist, who is symbolized by Shukracharya, thought that it's not worth to give anything to Vishnu unless by doing so we can get something back more, material calculation. People give large amount in the Hundya to Vishnu, Srinivas, but it's calculation. I'll get back more. And if it doesn't work, then I'll become a Muslim or an atheist. We've seen many people like that. You see, I tried this and I tried that. I tried Krishna Bhakti also, and eventually I went to Amma or Baba or something and it worked. So that's it for me. Whatever works, you see, I tried. It's like a lottery. I tried this one, I tried that one, I tried this one. This one worked? Okay. That's it for me. What do I get? So actually, if you want material development, it's quite possible by going to Sai Baba or some Amma or something, you can get it. It seems to have some Shakti, otherwise why so many people are going? That is not their Shakti, that's Maya Shakti working through them. We don't recommend going to them because material advancement is useless and temporary anyway. And particularly because they are envious of Vishnu by usurping the worship that is meant for him, if you go to them, you will go with them to him. Sure, 100% sure. They can talk about love and all this kind of thing. All these people are going to hell. So the very severe offense of usurping the worship that is meant for Vishnu. So one has to be very careful in spiritual life. Shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgam patistat kavayovaranti. It's like a razor's edge. It's a difficult to go path. Means one can easily be misled. If one gets the right path, then he can very easily go to Vaikuntha and beyond. Beyond Vaikuntha means Golok Vrindavan, not some imaginary impersonal liberation. But if one falls into the clutches of some cheetah, who are so many of them, then you'll be cheated, and the result of cheating is your everything will be spoiled. So we have to see, what do we want? Do we want material development or we want spiritual development? Material development is completely useless. It's just illusory. You have a big house and a big car and so many things, and then you become a rat or a dog or a cat. What is the meaning? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jacharaishan. So many people know this verse. No one takes it seriously. They just recite it, that's all. As they go on their path of punarapi jananam, they're saying it as they're going along. This is stated to wake us up that don't get born again, fool. Einstein is celebrated as such an intelligent person. He was a fool. Not only he is a fool, everyone is a fool. Because they are simply interested in this material world. They don't ask the proper questions. What is the purpose of life? Why are we born again? Why do we have to suffer? Who is God? What is our relationship? People give great respect to people who help us to increase our sense gratification, for instance by the advancement of science. It's just a distraction as we march on the path to repeated birth and death. It's difficult to think of anything more foolish than coming to this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which offers the wonderful path back to Godhead, and thinking how by coming to it I can increase my material situation. How I can improve my sense gratification. But Maya is so strong. So many wonderful temples of Vishnu have been built by great acharyas for the worship of Vishnu. And they're being utilized for the sense gratification of the priests who think that this is my job, and I get the income for, and then I can have a nice TV and everything. They have fixed hours and all this. With what great devotion these temples were built for the glorification of the Lord. But now it's taken as a darshan factory. Therefore, everyone should come here. Get tattva gyan before going. Darshan by tattva gyan before going there. Understand actually what it means to come close to God. We go for darshan, we come very close to the Lord. But we can be standing close physically, but be totally separated by our consciousness. It's like people are coming now, the curtain is open, they're coming close. They're not interested in hearing. You cannot see the Lord by this eye made out of blood and flesh. One can only actually see Him when one is purified by hearing about Him. So many people say, I went to Tirupati, I went to Sri Rangam, I went to Guru Vaya, I went to Udupi, I saw so many. Would you like another cup of coffee? They're saying as they're telling you. In Kanchipuram, just outside the Vardaraj temple, we saw Brahmin's Coffee Club. That means that, you see, they can't take coffee from the lower caste people. That's what I guess.
So
they make it themselves, it's very pure, you see. So you can say, I went to this temple, that temple, but you didn't, what was the effect? You went and you came back and your life is the same. So what is the use, actually? If you've actually seen God, then your life should be changed, isn't it? So we can understand 50,000 people a day are going to see Balaji and no one sees Him. Actual seeing means Premandana Churita Bhakti Viloshana. If one's eyes are tinged with the salt of love, then he can see the Lord everywhere, even without going to the temple. That doesn't mean you should... Anyway, let me say that. So going to the temple is good, but we should understand what is the purpose. In temples, there is a system that after taking darshan, you should sit down. Before you go, you should sit down. So I understand from this that originally this means you should sit and hear some katha, spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, there's no one. What's the purpose of sitting down? But it's just a formality. People sit down and they go. And who's to speak spiritual knowledge anyway? The priests don't know anything. So these temples of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the main purpose is not just making another place where people can come and look and go away. They should hear and learn and understand what is the science of Krishna
consciousness.
So that their activities in this world will be reminiscent or in the line of those of Yashoda and not of Padma. Yashoda looks after Krishna very nicely. And Padma does also. Every mother looks after the child. Not in the modern age. The women go to the office and the child is just left and who knows. Normally, in a less demoniac civilization.
యదనాథ నామ మాట గారు తల్లి ఎలా ఇంట్లో ఒకటి సాధిస్తుంది ఇంత రాక్షస పూరితమైనటువంటి సమాజం.
So Padma looks after the child and Yashoda looks after, but Yashoda has pure love and Padma is calculating.
Padma tani kumaran iskuntundi, Yashoda tani kishun iskuntundi, kani Yashoda tani kishun prema iskuntundi, Padma vachi tani kumaran lekka velthu atoni prema iskuntundi.
He will grow up, he will keep me, maintain me.
Padma emanu adistunnante kumaranu peragali.
Maybe she wasn't calculating on having her husband arrested by her son. But the point here is the attitude is quite different. The karma or the karmi is working, the devotee is working, but the purpose is completely different. So we should see what do we want? We've come here, what do we want? What are we doing this for? If we chant with Anya Abhilash, then we won't get Krishna. If we chant with other desires, then those desires may be fulfilled, but we won't get Krishna. Therefore, devotional service has to be anyabhilashita, shunya, free from all other desires, except those to serve Krishna as he desires to be served. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. But people who approach Bhagavad Gita with Anya Abhilash, they don't find that. They find that Krishna teaches karma, jnana, yoga, they're all the same. And probably karma is better. Therefore, the preaching of Bhagavad Gita as it is required. We should distribute the books, we should also know what's in the book. And be able to present that to others. If we only distribute the book but we don't know what's in it, we won't be distributing the book very long. Because we'll consider it a materialistic activity. And materialistic activities don't give satisfaction. But it's also required that devotees can explain it, because it is a deep subject matter, and to materialist, even reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, most people, you can't really catch the meaning of it without someone to help explain it also. That's why we ourselves have to hear regularly, imbibe the message, and then we'll be competent to explain it to others. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this?
He saw the Lord,
he knew that Krishna was God. Not really. Only devotees can know that Krishna is God. Only devotees know what God means. Even people say God, God, so many people say God, they don't have any idea what it means.
Krishna is free from it,
Isha is Vishwarup, but Duryodhana just thought he was some Sai Baba trick. That's all. He thought it was just some magic show.
So my question is, even at the time when you were lying on the battlefield dying, before I enjoyed the nice kingdom, and now again I'm going to travel over and die because I die exactly. You never repented for whatever we did.
Yeah.
So this quality, because nothing will kill me, so the same greediness you see, removing the life in so many ways, the real teaching, not caring for anything, the government, the language, the school. How these people will ever accept teaching?